Christopher Morley is the author, and Mercedes McCambridge the star, with Fletcher Markle the producer, director, and performer. And you'll hear also John McGovern and Elspeth Eric in tonight's cast, in a story about a Philadelphia Irish girl, strong-willed Kitty Foyle, who develops a relationship with a blue blood and his domineering mother. Kitty Foyle from Studio One comes to us from November 4th, 1947.
Tonight, Miss Mercedes McCambridge as Kitty Foyle from Studio One at CBS.
You have much respect for me, have you, Kitty?
Of course I have, Wynn. Love and respect and wonder and joy and heartache. But that doesn't make it right. No, my darling. The world is your oyster and my clamshell. And you can't ever make them fit.
With A Moment from Kitty Foyle by Christopher Morley, we invite you to Studio One, a full hour of dramatic entertainment from the pages of the world's great storytellers, stories known and loved by millions. And now to introduce tonight's great story, here is the director of Studio One, Fletcher Markle.
Miss Kitty Foyle is one of the great women of our time, not because she is so rare, but because there are so many of her. Half a dozen years ago, when Christopher Morley's Natural History of Kitty Foyle was a bestseller, the white-collar girl received her official and affectionate title, and she hasn't changed since. She is as American as Dick Tracy in drive-ins and the World Series. Our own Kitty in tonight's story is in her mid-twenties, Irish, independent, and consistently feminine. She was born and raised in Philadelphia, but a lot of things that happened to her could happen in your town, too. Nearly everyone runs into trouble with some kind of social tradition, because after all, any town bigger than a whistle stop lives on both sides of the tracks. Tonight, in Margaret LeWorth's version for listening of Kitty Foyle, you'll be hearing Mercedes McCambridge as Kitty, with John McGovern as Pop and Elspeth Eric as Molly, and I'm going to join them at the microphone to play Wynn Strafford.
People sometimes smile at Philadelphia, but almost every house in Philly has a backyard of its own, no matter how small. And that's a good thing, as Pop used to say. When you come right down to it, you can slice Philly like an orange. One half curves around to the main line, where about eight generations of Americans have made their fancy homes and followed their hounds and hung crazy portraits of ancestors with blue blood. The other half of Philly curves toward Frankfort, where first-generation Americans hang their wash and prop their fences and board the trolley to earn their daily bread. After Mother died, we lived on Griscom Street in Frankfort, in an old clapboard house with nothing special about it except what Pop called the hysteria vines, and the backyard, where Pop used to sit in his old wicker chair with a newspaper across his knees.
Kitty! Kitty!
Mr. Foyle, what y'all want with Kitty now?
I want her down here, Merton. They wanted to do something for me.
You wouldn't want her to be making a trip to the clothes hamper for you, would you?
God, blink it, Myrtle. I'm paying you to wash my shirts.
Mr. Foyle, the bottle ain't in the clothes hamper.
Myrtle, did you take that?
Mr. Foyle, I was aiming to do what the doctor fella said. And he said you weren't to have one drop before noon.
Gee, Horsifat.
And don't go bothering Kitty. She's upstairs practicing her typewriting like she oughta. She gets little enough time.
She's my daughter, isn't she?
Mr. Foyle, that ain't her fault.
Myrtle, Well, maybe you're right. You know, every day I see more of her mother in her. Yeah. The same way of holding her head and laughing out real honest. Yet sometimes I see something else in her. Something different. I can't explain. A kind of warmth. Way down deep inside. Say, I could use some of that warmth myself. Kitty!
That's the end of the paper, Pop. Anything else you want me to read?
You haven't read the paper if you haven't read the cricket score.
Marion, 268 for 7, Germantown, 174, all out.
God blink it. They shouldn't have lost. That's Cadwallader. I told him 20 years ago to take a slower swing.
Pop, just between us, do you think those mainliners ever paid any attention to what you said?
If they wanted to win a cricket match, they did. Or are you trying to tell me that just because I was a night watchman,
what's that got to do with it? Pop, you're a cantankerous old bear. Best cricket batsman in or out of Philadelphia, and I love you. But I don't believe you or anybody else could tell a mainliner anything. They've been telling everybody else for too long. Now, what can I do for you?
You're a good girl, Kitty. It can't be much fun for you staying home and nursing an old man.
Where else would I be?
Out at Prairie College, where you were set to go till I took down.
Pop, I'd go crazy at Prairie College, and you know it.
You really like it better sitting up in that room, pecking at a typewriter.
Well, at least it's going to get me a job. Education's like the open-air trolley, Pop. Wonderful if you got the time.
Maybe, Kitty. I didn't do very well by your mom. I'd like to think things are going to be better for you.
Mom was happy, wasn't she?
Yes, I think she was.
Well, you worry about your rheumatism, Pop. I'm off to business school to make us rich.
I beg your pardon.
What? Are you speaking to me?
Yes, I just wanted a direction.
Sure. What is it?
I'm looking for number 17.
17? Who do you want in number 17?
Oh, Mr. Michael J. Foyle. Do you know him?
Yeah, I know him. He's my... What do you want to see him for?
Information, primarily. Maybe I better introduce myself. My name is Winwood Strafford.
Winwood Strafford?
I don't believe we've met.
Oh, I'm sure we haven't. But I guess everybody around Philadelphia, that is on the other side, knows Winwood Strafford. What is it, fifth?
That's my father. I'm six.
Oh, I'm no good at figures. What do you want to see Pop for?
Oh, you his daughter?
I would let that out.
They didn't tell me about you.
Who didn't tell you?
Well, you see, I'm getting together a book on cricket, and I was told your father...
Oh.
Well, he doesn't mind talking to people, does he?
No, he doesn't mind.
Do you?
Well, I have nothing to do with this. It's all Pop. And he isn't well now. He gave all the time he could spare to cricket, helping a lot of fancy players, and he never got any thanks for it. That was a long time ago, and now... Now I don't want to see him bothered.
Well, I won't bother him, I promise you. Maybe if you were there...
Pop doesn't need any help.
Oh, I wasn't thinking of your father.
I don't think you need any help either.
What's your name?
You need that for your cricket book?
Well, that wasn't where I intended to use it.
I'm sorry. I get used to talking back. It's the Irish in
me. I like it.
I'm glad somebody does. I don't. The house is a half block down, right side of the street.
I still don't know your name.
Kitty? Kitty Foyle, the first.
Be so calm, Kitty. If Winwood Strafford 6 was at my house, I wouldn't come to school.
What would you do? Sit home and look at him?
Is he as handsome as his pictures in the paper?
No, he isn't. His nose has a bend in it.
You did look at him.
Well, you can't help noticing things.
Oh, gee.
Molly pops on cricket terms with half the main line. That's what burns me up. After they pull up the wickets, they don't know
what'd
him.
What'd he wear?
Who?
Winwood Strafford 6.
Well, for Pete's sake, I don't know. Yes, I do. Tweeds and maroon wool socks.
Maroon wool socks.
Oh, come on, let's get a soda. You're getting on my nerves.
I bet you anything he comes to your house again.
Why would he do that?
I just bet.
Molly, you're dizzy. Let him come all he wants to. But if he does, he won't find Kay Foyle on the premises. Oh. Hello.
May I come in?
Sure.
I'm a little early this time.
That's all right. Pop's in the front room.
I know, but Kitty's on the porch.
Well, that's silly.
You know, I didn't know cricket history could be so much fun. You were awfully kind typing up the notes, bringing us iced tea.
That's what I'd do for any of Pop's friends.
Oh, where did you learn that speech?
Frankfurt Grammar School. PS3.
Kitty, who are you talking to?
Mr. Strafford's here, Pop.
Kitty.
Well, bring him in.
Kitty, I've got my car out there. Afterwards, would you go for a little drive?
I can't.
I'd like to talk to you.
I've got some typing to do.
On Saturday?
Yeah.
Kitty, what are you afraid of?
I'm not afraid.
I'll bring it, Kitty. The man's not here for female chatting.
Will you, Kitty?
I'll...
Settled. We'll go up to Eagle Rock. Hi, Mr. Foyle, sir. I'm glad to see you.
Oh, you're a fool, Kitty Foyle. A darn fool.
Kitty, that's the third time you press that blouse over. You want to thin it out to air?
No, I just can't keep my mind on it.
You going out riding again?
Myrtle, I love you, but you ask too many questions.
Mm-hmm. And you don't answer enough.
All right, I'll answer you, Myrtle. I'm going riding, or maybe walking, or maybe just floating. It's a beautiful day, and the snail is on the thorn, and everything's right, even with Frankfurt.
That don't make sense.
Nothing makes sense, Myrtle, nothing. I'm just afraid I'll wake up and find it out.
Well, this is it. You like it?
Oh, it's beautiful. Where are we?
My family's camp in the Poconos. It's called Arrow Lodge.
I must have read the right books. I always imagined there were places like this.
Come on, let's get out. I want to show you the view.
Oh, I think I've got all the view I can stand. This is heady stuff.
Oh, Kitty, you're wonderful. It's such fun to take your places. You're so enthusiastic.
I guess that's as good a word as any. Oh, look at those hills.
Yeah. I always liked the autumn down here best. In fact, until now, I don't think I realized how much I did like it here.
Wynn, let's be sensible.
Why?
Because you're Winwood Strafford 6th, and I'm Kitty Foyle at Griscom Street. I think the view is
Kitty,
nice.
Kitty, you know, in these past 2 months, we've taken drives, danced, talked, and I don't know anything about you.
That isn't true. You know everything about me. You've been to my home. You know Pop. Bless him. And you know that every morning while you're waiting for the butler to bring you your coffee, I'm hanging on a strap on the Frankfurt trolley.
Kitty, I didn't think you'd be class conscious.
Whatever that means. Oh, I can forgive you the butler and the family silver. But I'm practical. You have to be hiding Pop's whiskey bottle all these years.
Kitty, stop talking.
Why?
You know why. Because the family silver and the Frankfurt trolley have nothing to do with us.
Us?
Yes, you and me.
No, you shouldn't say that.
Why not?
Because it isn't fair. Because there isn't any such thing as us.
Kitty, stop pretending. You know how I've felt these last few months. You could hear it in my voice. I could see it in your eyes. We haven't said, but it's right there.
You mustn't talk like this, Wynn.
I fell in love with you the first moment I saw you.
Wynn.
I didn't know there was any girl in the world like
Wynn,
you.
Wynn, stop it. This is mad. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense.
It makes more sense than anything that's ever happened to me. Kitty, I love you.
Oh, Wynn.
I love you and you love me. It's true, isn't it?
I don't know.
You do know. You do love me.
Yes. Yes, heaven help me. I love you. Isn't it wonderful, Wynn? It's a kind of miracle. All of a sudden, we've crossed over some kind of boundary line, and everything is different.
I know, darling, I know. Oh, Kitty, is it really you?
Who else could it be?
I don't mean, is it you or not a dream? I mean, is it the most you of you?
I guess it is, Wynn. If there's anything more me, I don't know about it.
Now look at this fancy invitation card. Mr. and Mrs. Winwood Strafford V request the honor of Miss Kitty Foyle's presence. Why in thunder don't they say what they mean?
I guess they don't dare, Pop.
No, none of that, Kitty. If the mainliners want you to a party, they've got sense.
I don't want to go, Pop.
Jumping Jehoshaphat. Are you ashamed?
Of course I'm not ashamed. We're worth more than the whole mainline strung together.
Then what are you talking about? You think I want this young fella coming around to see my girl and not let her meet his folks?
Pop, honestly.
Why, I taught most of them club fellas to play cricket when they were still wearing three-corner drawers.
Well, they're wearing long ones now. They're cutting coupons instead of wickets.
Kitty, if you're a daughter of mine and your mother's, you'll go where you want to, and you'll hold your head high.
Pop, you dope. It isn't me I'm thinking of.
What are you thinking of?
You know perfectly well they'll be as smooth and sweet to me as pistachio ice cream. But when...
He looks able-bodied.
Of course he's able-bodied.
Then what in thunder are you fussing about? You'll be the belle of the ball. Same as your mother when I first took her to Donna's saloon.
Oh, Pop. I wish I had your self-confidence.
Kitty, don't you really want to go?
Yes, Pop. That's the worst of it. I want to go terribly.
Cousin Grace, what do you suppose she'll wear?
I hope something at least appropriate, my dear. Oh, I know it won't be easy for you, Veronica, but I know my son, and I know this was the best way to handle it.
I hope so.
You must trust me.
Oh, I do. And I'm not jealous. I couldn't be of a person like that. I understand her father was a night watchman.
You've behaved very wisely so far. Just have a little patience. I know Wynne will come to his senses, and when he does...
When he does?
My dear, after all, you're his cousin. You've grown up together. Where else would he turn? Oh, Veronica, I feel as if you were my daughter already.
Fun, darling.
I don't know.
That's our song. Don't you remember the words we made up? Philadelphia in June. In July, August, September, October. Any time with you, Kitty.
Don't hold me so close. The dowagers are looking.
I give the orders here.
But when you're crushing me.
Then let's go out on the terrace. I want to crush you. Darling Kitty, you're the most beautiful woman here tonight.
When you're sweet.
Now, don't use that maternal tone.
I can't help it. I can see who's around me, same as you. Tell me, when do these girls ever wear the same little $500 models a second time?
Oh, I don't know. I never look at the dresses.
You don't? What do they wear them for?
Convention.
I know, silly. But do they dress like that? Or each other?
I don't know what they do. There's only one girl at this ball tonight, and her name is Kitty, and I'm going to kiss her right now.
Winwood, dear.
Oh, dear. Hello, Mother.
We've been looking for you.
I guess it was my fault, Mrs. Stratford. I sort of needed the air.
Yes, it gets quite warm dancing, I imagine. I had so little time to talk with you, Miss Foyle, while I was receiving. I thought we ought to have a little visit.
For love of Pete, not now, Mother.
When, if your mother would like to talk to me, why not now? As good a time as any.
No, it isn't. I brought Kitty out here to the hunt ball, Mother, because I wanted her to have a good time. You and the dowagers aren't going to put her through the grill tonight.
Winwood, what a thing to say.
He's just trying to be kind, Mrs. Stratford. Sure, let's have a talk.
I hardly think it will be necessary. Winwood, I hope you won't forget your cousin Veronica is expecting to dance with you. I must see to my other guests. I hope you enjoy yourself, Miss Foyle. It was pleasant to meet you.
Mother?
Winn. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're sorry. You'd think six generations would teach them a little kindness.
I don't want kindness. Don't you see, Winn?
Sure, I see. I see them all. Even Mother and their tight little shells trying to make me fit into mine. Well, they won't do it.
Winn, my poor darling.
They're not going to push us around, either of us.
They don't have to. Don't you see that, Winn? They don't have to. I'm going up and powder my nose. You better dance. Cousin Veronica. It's me, Pop.
Oh, yeah. Did you have a good time?
Sure.
I knew you would. I kept thinking of your mother tonight at Donna's saloon.
So was I, Pop.
Well, you know.
Yeah, a lot. Pop?
Yeah?
Are you too much asleep to tell me something?
Hmm? What is it?
Could you do without me for a little while?
Do without you? Jehoshaphat. Why?
I want to go away for a few days.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
I guess I saw it coming.
I didn't. If I was you, Pop, a drink would fix me. But a woman, she either buys a new hat or gets on a train.
When are you going?
Tomorrow morning. Wynn, darling, I hope this letter will take some of the hurt out of my going without saying goodbye. We both know this can't work. It can't even go on. We've always known it. But it was fun for a little while to be foolish. That's over. Please don't try to write me or follow me. It would be no use. I'm going to have a little vacation. So, tally-ho. Or whatever you say when the fox is cornered. Kitty. Tuna, will you, Porter?
Yes, ma'am.
Please, just a moment.
I beg your pardon?
I beg yours. I watch you write that letter as the train rocks. You are very unhappy, aren't you?
Who, me?
It is maybe a love affair.
Well,
I don't blame you for resenting my intrusion. But sometimes women can be kind to each other. I like your face. I see you are unhappy.
Okay, I'm unhappy. I didn't realize I was spreading gloom all over the Pensy Railroad.
But no one would notice but a sympathetic woman. Give me that letter, would you?
Why?
It is a love letter saying goodbye to the beloved, yes?
Well, I ought to be sore. But I'm not. How did you know that?
One can tell. Here, I show you something.
What are you doing?
A little trick, very French. See? I put a drop of this perfume at the corner of the envelope.
Well, that's not going to help anything.
A goodbye said this way, it is never forgotten.
I don't wonder. What is that stuff?
My special brand of perfume. Olympia, I call it. It is my business. I sell it. See, already your eyes look brighter. You smile.
Everything happens to me, all right. Well, thanks. If Pop ever gets a whiff of that, the clothes hamper will have a new tenant.
The clothes hamper?
That's where Pop keeps his bottle.
Oh, I see. You are very American. I like you.
Yeah, I'm Philadelphian. That's different.
Come, we have a little dinner. I tell you about my business. Are you interested in business? Maybe working?
You couldn't have picked a better victim.
Boy, please. Boy.
310, please.
Yes, Miss Foyle. Here's your key.
And remember, no messages. Please don't let them ring my phone.
Yes, ma'am. But I think I ought to tell you there's been a gentleman here asking for you.
A gentleman?
This afternoon and this evening and...
Last night and this morning.
When?
In person.
How did you find me?
Next time you disappear, sweetheart, don't tell your best friend.
Molly?
That's right.
But you don't know her.
I do know.
I don't understand.
If you'll move 6 feet from this desk so the whole hotel doesn't hear me.
Oh, Wynn, you've spoiled everything.
You almost did, you little idiot, when you went home the day after the hunt ball and your father wouldn't tell me.
He didn't know.
Okay, but I was nearly crazy. I went down to that secretarial school of yours and asked the class who your best friend was.
Asked the class?
Well, you may be able to resist my charms, but your teacher welcomed me like a lost inheritance. Sure, I asked them all. Molly confessed, told me you'd gone to Chicago.
Oh, Wynn, why did you do it? You've ruined everything.
Listen, darling, that perfume you wrapped that phony little note up in had me and the beagle hounds on the trail.
Oh, well, that was a little French trick. Don't you know that?
I say it was. Whoever taught it to you knew her stuff.
Oh, Wynn, it's no use. We can't go on.
I love you, Kitty.
Oh, dear, the whole lobby's listening.
Heck with the lobby. I love you and you love me. Say it.
Wynn,
say it. Say it.
Yes. I love you, Wynn. You great big blue-blooded peanut-brained darn fool. I love you.
Oh, this is more like it, dancing with you again, looking at you even in Chicago. You're beautiful, Kitty. Harrowing emotion agrees with you.
You're a hound.
Tell me about Delphine and the perfume business.
I met her on the train. We got talking. She has a business in New York. Offered me a job.
Doing what?
Pushing a typewriter until I learned the cosmetic business. Then promotion.
Are you interested?
I'd be interested in polishing apples in Kenosha.
Why do you run away from it, Kitty, when it's right in front of you?
What is?
Us.
When I told you we'd have this one evening in Chicago. But nothing's changed. Tomorrow, I go back to Frankfurt, and you to cutting coupons at old St. David's.
You haven't much respect for me, have you?
Of course I have. Love and respect and wonder and joy and heartache. But that doesn't make it right. No, my darling. The world is your oyster and my clamshell. You can't ever make them fit.
Anything more?
Yeah. Let's have tonight. Drink our champagne and watch the balloons and dance to the music. We've only a little to remember. Got a long time to do it in.
Kitty, listen.
What?
For once, I'm going to do something nobody's told me to do. For once, I'm giving the orders.
What orders?
In the first place, Delphine and her perfume business, that's out.
When I need a job.
Tomorrow, you're going shopping here in Chicago.
You're crazy.
At noon, we're taking the train to the First Justice of the Peace.
When? We can't.
I love you, Kitty, and I'm going to marry you now.
Yes, miss, the clerk is bringing your bag. These flowers came for you.
Flowers?
I knew you were checking out, so we didn't send them out.
Oh, yeah, well, I'll take them. I'll open them here. Oh, my.
Oh, orchids?
White orchids.
Never seen them so early in the morning.
Oh, gosh.
I hope you'll be very happy, miss.
Does it show that much?
Well, you don't look exactly like most folks I see asking for mail. And here's a telegram came for you.
He's reminding me of the day.
That sounds extravagant.
Oh, he is. He's wonderful and extravagant, and he's... Oh.
Something the matter, miss?
Oh, no. Nothing. Have you a timetable for Philadelphia? Oh, Pop. A stroke. Pop died. Let me get there in time. When, darling, I knew it couldn't happen. There was too much happiness for two people. When?
From Studio One, you are listening to Kitty Foyle by Christopher Morley, as arranged for radio by Margaret LaWorth. Our story will resume after the customary pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This is part two of tonight's broadcast from Studio One, and this is Fletcher Markle again. I'd like to take about 30 seconds to tell you about our plans for the future of Studio One. Starting next week, in addition to the celebrated novels and plays we've been offering you these past 6 months, we're going to bring you a number of celebrated performers, some of the great stars of Hollywood, to join our radio cast. Next week, starring in Richard Meland's new bestseller, Let Me Do the Talking, our visiting player is Mr. John Garfield. We hope you'll be with us. Next week and through the summer, the winter months, we want you to hear some very wonderful people and some very wonderful stories from Studio One. And now back to Kitty Foyle, Christopher Morley's wise and tender portrait of a woman with Mercedes McCambridge as Kitty.
Fall for a guy like Wynn, you don't ask any questions. You try to forgive his blue blood and his family bank. And you just think how the sun looks on his hair and the way his voice sounds when he says, dearest. I knew how different we were. So did he. But still there I was in Chicago one morning wearing white orchids and headed for a justice of the peace. Then the wire came about Pop. There's something about Griscom Street in Philadelphia that's like a pair of bifocals. You see everything pretty straight, near or far. And Pop, even at the end, Pop told me, be yourself, Kitty. Be yourself. Well, there was a lot to do. I didn't want to think much.
I got everything packed up in the front parlor, Miss Kitty.
Heaven knows what I'll do with this stuff now it's packed. I suppose you have to go through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
Things don't mean anything when you take them out of their place.
Oh, you'll have a place of your own now, honey.
That's right.
Oh, say, that young man who used to come around here in that shiny automobile, don't you like him, Nan?
I like him, Myrtle.
Oh, he was so nice at the funeral with all those flowers.
His family's got a hothouse full of them. Myrtle, give me a hand with this barrel.
All right.
Oh, who in the world?
Oh, there's a big car outside, Miss Kitty. And look through the curtains. Look who's standing at the front door.
It's Mrs. Stratford. Twin's mother.
My goodness.
Oh, Myrtle. I don't like surprises like this.
It's very kind of you to see me, my dear. I know the trouble you've had.
Thanks. It was kind of a shock. Pop's going like that.
Yes, Winwood told me how devoted you were to your father.
Yeah. I guess maybe you better tell me what you want of me, Mrs. Stratford.
See what Winwood means by your directness.
That's my Irish, Mrs. Stratford.
Miss Boyle, since my son returned from his quite inexplicable trip to Chicago, he's been a very unhappy boy. A mother senses these things without being told, and Winwood and I have always been very close.
I'm sure of that.
I know he's in love with you.
What makes you think that?
He told me you were almost married in Chicago.
He told you everything, didn't he?
Well, I hope so, my dear. A mother should be closer to her son than anyone else in his life.
I suppose you're right, if that's the way he wants it.
Miss Foyle, I don't think you understand me very well. I've come here to make a friend of you. I was, of course, deeply shocked when he told me you almost eloped. That is something I couldn't bear. And, well, I will be frank to say we had other plans for him. A girl he's known all his life.
Why don't you go through with him?
Because my son loves you, and I'm prepared to accept that.
I see.
That is why I've called on you personally. Winwood is unhappy, and I think the best way to handle it is to face it honestly.
No matter how bad the medicine tastes.
Miss Foyle, I'm prepared to approve of this marriage Winwood has set his heart on. Will you come out Thursday for dinner and the night? Just the family, so we may become better acquainted.
I don't know what to say.
Say what you really believe.
I don't think it's very smart. But thank you, Mrs. Stratford. I'd be delighted to come out Thursday night.
Darling, you look beautiful.
Do I win? Do I?
Oh, Kitty, what's the matter? Now, the things are really ironing out and the family sees it our way, you're so different.
I'm not different, Wynn. I'll try to do right. But when I left you in Chicago, I felt I was doing right. Even marrying you in Chicago would have been right. Just us. But there's something wrong about this.
You've got to get over that idea that we're so different.
What made you tell your mother everything?
Because I was tired of having my love for you hidden behind bushes, made cheap and secretive. I want the family on my side.
Is it so important? Which side the family's on?
Oh, yes, in a way. Habit, I suppose.
Pop always said habit was just a way of not thinking.
Now then, let's go into the music room. It's quiet there for our little talk. Hmm?
Are we going to have a talk?
It seems so.
And I think you're going to like it, my dear. By the way, do you enjoy music?
Some of it. I don't understand symphony stuff. Too big.
What kind of music do you like?
I like a good orchestra.
Or if I'm in the mood, a nice schmaltzy Viennese waltz.
Schmaltzy?
Kitty's the world's most beautiful dancer, Mother. I won't let her hear anything but dance music.
I'll bone up on the symphony someday, Wynne.
Oh, I'm glad you said that, my dear, because that's part of what we have in mind.
Mother, this is going to be fun. Can't we save the culture?
Winwood, I've approved of this marriage and Miss Foyle. Surely you can do me the courtesy of regarding my slight whims in the matter.
Oh, Wynne just thinks I'm afraid of culture. Pop always said it was just a different undershirt.
Oh? I thought we could plan for a wedding, say, about 2 years from the spring.
2 years?
Well, it's not such a long time, Kitty. I've got to get down to work, learn the bank.
It doesn't seem long to you.
Why, 2 years will pass very quickly. You're very young. You're alone. I thought it would be an excellent thing if we sent you to college for a year, or perhaps a nice select finishing school.
School?
Then the second year you could travel abroad. Paris, Italy, perhaps the Riviera for the winter.
And then?
Then you'd come back. We'd make plans for a wedding. A real wedding, my dear, with all our friends.
Mother,
you know, I quite agree with Winwood. You would make a beautiful bride.
Thank you. And what would Wynne be doing all these 2 years?
Well, just what I told you, Kitty. Learning the bank from the ground up, getting our house built.
Our home would be built while I was away?
Oh, you'd have plenty to think about.
And the house would be built where?
Why, my dear, right here on our own land. When Winwood was 6, his father deeded him 50 acres for the day he'd be building his own home.
Since he was 6, huh?
You'd like it out here, Kitty.
And we'd want you near us.
Oh, I see.
Well, those are our plans, Miss Foyle. And I'm going to call you Kitty now. I know it's a lot to take in, but I think this represents a happy solution. You sleep on it, my dear, and then we'll talk more.
Yes, Mrs. Stratford, I'll sleep on it. Only I won't sleep.
Hey, can you tell me the way to the station?
You go at the station at this hour in the morning, miss?
What time do you go to work?
I'm working here on the hedge by 7:30.
And I'm running for the trolley then, so you see, I'm not early.
I beg your pardon, miss. It's just that... Well, we don't see the guests up and about here till nearly noon.
So how can I get to the station?
I'll call a car.
How far is it?
Not quite 2 miles.
I'll walk. Now, will you please tell me which way?
Miss, I really... Well, they'll be angry if I let you go off like this.
Your soul may not be free, but mine is. I'm walking because I want to, and if there's any objection,
Kitty,
just tell them that...
Now, wait a minute.
Oh. Hello, Wynne.
I got down early. Waters said he saw you leave. You scared me to death. Good morning, Thompson.
Oh, good morning, sir. I'll be getting back to Tool House. The young lady just...
That's all right, Thompson.
No, it's my fault when I practically bullied him into letting me through the gate. Now I have to hurry.
Where?
Business school. Starts at 8:45.
Kitty, what does this mean? Why are you doing this? I thought last night...
You thought last night I was wrapped, tied, and glued into the mold.
Darling, I knew it would sound like that to you, and I don't blame you. I've always known it was stuffy. I never realized how stuffy until last night. But what does it matter if in the end we have each other?
What does it matter, Wynne? 2 years. And in the end, do we have each other?
You love me, Kitty?
Don't. Don't make it any tougher than it is.
I'll make it as tough as I can. I love you, Kitty, for the 30 millionth time. I love you and I mean to have you. Sure, I belong to a family that's freighted down with tradition and convention and upholstery, but they've been doing things this way for 7 generations. It's as hard for them to change as it is for you to understand.
That's just it. I know when I rammed into a mountain. Even the house, our home, planned since you were 6. Gee, Jehoshaphat, as Pop used to say.
Kitty, you're not going back to business school this morning. I won't let you.
You can't stop me.
Oh, listen, Kitty.
I know what your family wants to do. Fix me up and make me presentable. I don't blame them. But, my darling, I'm Kitty Foyle of the Griscom Street Foyles, the kind that gets kicks out of life but don't take to improvement. Wynne, I love you. Heaven help me, I love you more than anything in the world, but this won't work. I know it won't.
Why don't you give it a chance?
All right. I'll give it a chance. But I'll do it my way. Time is nothing around here. Why should it be when you think in terms of 7 generations? So I'll go to New York, and I'll get that job in the perfume business for 6 months.
Kitty, hey, 6 months?
Yes, and if you still want all this... And me in 6 months. Come and tell me, Wynne. Come and tell me.
Kitty.
Yeah. I'm just finishing this piece of copy. How do you spell Evaness?
Evaness. Well, it's, No, I won't let you. Every night I go home to my middle-aged, dull little apartment and I leave you working. You're young, lovely. You should be having fun.
I'm having fun.
7 o'clock at night at a typewriter?
Yep, I'm having fun learning who Kitty Foyle is.
I can tell you. Kitty Foyle is a very smart young businesswoman. And I am very glad she came to work for me. My dear, you are going far in the cosmetic business.
In 6 months?
No, not in 6 months. Why 6 months?
My private calendar. Just a joke, Delphine. No, I love your business. I'll work for it until I'm an old lady.
You'll be one very soon with these hours. Now go along. I order you to walk in the park. Tomorrow is Sunday.
Why walk in the park?
For exercise. The body balance.
What I need is what you call the head balance.
Kitty, always you joke. Here, I give you a little whiff of Olympia that cheer you up, make you think beautiful things.
No, thanks. That perfume got me in trouble once. You keep Olympia. I'll walk in the park.
Gangway! Gangway! Look out! Gangway! I'm a fire!
Look out! Look out for the bench! Look out! Oh, gee! Oh, you poor kid. Oh, you're cut. Here.
It hurts.
Here, where?
My leg.
Oh, that's where you ran into the bench. Here, I'll fix it. I'll get a handkerchief. Do you always skate this fast in the park?
I thought I was going to miss it.
Well, I could have told you that. There. Now, you'll be all right. Sit still a minute.
Can I be of any help?
Oh, this boy ran into the bench I was sitting on. He's got a rather bad cut.
Yes, I saw it happen. Here, just let me get to him.
You a cop?
Do I look like a cop, son?
Sure. A plain clothes, Dick.
Why, you kids read too many comics. Let me see that bandage.
I only had a handkerchief.
Mm-hmm. Not bad.
Darn good.
Here. I'll just rewind it a little.
Oh!
There. Over. A little tighter here. Tuck it up. There. Now, sonny, you run home. Can you skate?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Let your mother wash that leg. And the next time you see a park bench, duck.
I was looking at her.
I don't blame you. So long.
So long. And thanks.
Well, that's a snappy piece of dialogue. You don't need me anymore.
Sit down.
What?
I said, sit down.
We haven't been introduced yet.
I'm Mark Eisen. And for 3 Saturdays, I've been watching you walk in the park.
You have?
Haven't you seen me looking at you?
No.
I wasn't as conspicuous as I feared.
Talking to strangers in the park isn't exactly my dish.
Mine either. But calamity makes strange companions.
Do you always have an answer?
I've been thinking them up for the last 3 Saturdays, wondering how I'd get to meet you.
So you sent over that red-haired little demon on roller skates to mow me down?
No, but I wish I'd been bright enough to think of it.
You're a doctor, aren't you?
How did you know that?
Watching you fix the bandage, the way you gave orders.
Look, I'm not going to make any bones about it. I'm grateful as all get out to that kid for running into you. I wanted to meet you. Will you come and have some ice cream with me?
Ice cream?
There's a stand over there in the park.
Well, I...
Don't you like ice cream?
Oh, yeah.
Well?
All right, then. I guess it's all right.
Kitty, I see you leave now at 5:30. Maybe you have a new friend.
I met a doctor by accident in the park.
Oh, has he charm?
Well, no, I wouldn't describe him that way. He's nice to kids and to his mother. Once in a while, he likes me to have dinner with him.
I am glad. A broken heart is not good for the cosmetic business.
Matter of fact, I'd welcome a nice, clean, broken heart. This sort of dead numbness, like a toothache.
Is it still the boy in Philadelphia?
Sure. Who else? But I don't let it interfere with my work.
That is true. I had a little surprise for you.
Well, you better tell me. I don't surprise easy.
I promote you to demonstrator, the next step in learning the business. I want you to go to big cities and show our line. You like that?
Well, I like seeing the world, if you think I can do the job.
Kitty Foyle can do any job she sets out to do.
Yeah. Except take care of herself. When do I start?
Next week. Philadelphia.
Oh, Does it have to be Philadelphia?
Yes, because you know the place and the store as well.
The angle I've got on Philadelphia wouldn't help any woman look beautiful.
You do as I say, Kitty. I know you'll be a success.
Okay. On one condition.
What?
That I'm in New York a week from Thursday.
Is that so important to you?
It marks 6 months.
Kitty, you tell me a great deal, but not the whole story. 6 months and then you see this wing of yours?
That's right.
You have made up your mind?
I don't know. Oh, I don't know. I only know I'm not doing very well without him.
You certainly pulled him in, Kitty. Look at that crowd.
You're a lamb to help me, Molly.
Oh, I wouldn't have missed it. You got the main line, too. Mrs. Rosetree, Mrs. McGaster, I can see the mink jumping from here.
Oh, you're as bad as Pop was. How do you know them all?
Reading the Sunday supplements. Kitty, don't look now, but somebody's coming you won't like.
Where?
Over to your left. Miss Veronica Perry. Isn't she second cousin?
Wins to... Oh, Lord, yes, I saw her once for a minute at the Hunt Ball. Somebody ought to get a laugh out of this. She won't know me.
Excuse me. But have you the Delphine products on sale now?
Yes.
Oh, you're the demonstrator.
That's right. The line is right here.
You know, for a minute... Yes, I think so. Haven't I seen you somewhere?
Oh, I'm sure you haven't. Unless you're in the cosmetic business.
Hardly. But you look so familiar. I really never forget faces, but I can't think...
You want to buy some creams?
Yes, but... Well, it'll come to me, I'm sure. Could I ask your name?
Miss Delphine. Now, what were you interested in, miss?
Oh, something nice and refreshing. I've been outdoors so much, I feel my skin's too dry. And one needs a new look for a new season.
One certainly does. You'll probably like our special nectar date cream and then the ambrosia for night.
Yes, I'll take them both. Now, I want to ask you about that marvelous perfume I've heard rumored.
Olympia?
Yes. I thought with my new gown at the assembly next week...
We have no Olympia in stock.
But I just saw a woman purchase a bottle.
I'm sorry.
Well, really? Are you refusing to sell me?
Is there anything else?
I'm sure I don't know why, but I think you're quite impertinent. You may cancel the order.
Who are you pushing?
Hey. You don't care how you throw mainline business away, do you, Kitty?
No. No, I don't. I don't care if I lose my job. You think I'd sell that washed-out, white-faced little doll my perfume so Wynne could dance with her at the assembly and remember me? Not on your life.
Oh.
She won't get the perfume, and by Jehoshaphat, she won't get Wynne. If I wasn't sure before, I'm sure now. They can improve me, make me over anything. I'll take their terms. But I'm going to save Wynne from a lifetime of that. If I don't, he won't have a chance. He needs me as much as I need him. I'm going to marry him, Molly. I'm going to tell him next week.
Telegram. Telegram for Miss Kitty Foyle.
That's me, right here. Oh, thanks.
Okay, no hurry.
Oh, there is, my lad. This telegram matters. Here.
Oh. Thanks.
Oh, Wynne.
A telegram. Well, Kitty?
He didn't forget the 6 months. It's up tomorrow. Here, read this.
Meet me tomorrow, 6 at Jonas.
That's a restaurant we went to.
Have much to tell you. Your win.
Oh.
Oh, Kitty, I'm very happy for you. No woman should live alone.
That Delphine I've learned the hard way.
So this is the last time I'm to see you.
That's how it is, Mark.
It was nice of you to let me call just the same. I appreciate that.
You've been very kind to me.
That's not difficult.
Not for you. You're kind to everybody.
You wouldn't have thought so if you saw me giving the devil to the interns today at the hospital.
And 5 minutes later making the kids laugh in the crippled ward.
Kitty, you romanticize my work.
No, I don't. I have a great respect for your work.
I wish it had been different, Kitty. I wish it had been more than respect. You're a woman a man would want beside him all his life. This young man is very lucky. I hope he knows his luck.
He's never known his luck, Mark, never. He wouldn't know what you were talking about.
It sounds as if he has to grow up a little.
A lot. That's where I come in. That's what they can't do for him at home. I know that now.
You love him a great deal.
A great deal.
Then you'll be happy, Kitty.
Yes, Mark. I'll be happy. Good evening, Giorno.
Ah, madame. Such a nice first customer for tonight. I've not seen you for a long time.
No, Giorno, not since I was here months ago with Mr. Strafford.
And Mr. Strafford, he is coming as well?
Yes, from the Philadelphia train.
Well, then maybe I find a bottle of Cordon Rouge, which he likes so much.
Maybe, Giorno, but we'll let Mr. Strafford give his own order.
You're a very wise young lady. But you do not look the way you used to. You're thin. Your eyes, they have darkness under them.
Service stripes, Giorno. They're about to disappear.
I hope so. You're young, beautiful. I hope you will be happy. Madame, this table, your old table.
Thank you. Giorno, this is the darndest world. When you're unhappy, nobody gives a hoot. And when you're happy and don't need anybody else, everybody wants to shake your hand. Thanks anyhow.
Maybe Madame would look at the paper while she waits.
Madame might. Any paper will do. It doesn't even have to be today's. I'm not sure I'll see the words. Oh, Wynn, it's really us. Just as we talked and planned and knew it would be someday. If it's really us, I won't mind what your family does to me or your friends. Nobody can touch us. Nobody. We'll live our own life, just the two of us, my dearest. I love you, Wynn. Oh, hurry. Hurry.
Madame would like some coffee while she waits, or a cocktail?
No, thanks. I'll just read the paper. The society news, Giorno. That's my mood. The orange blossoms and the lace and what the welt. Oh.
Something is the matter, Madame.
Oh, no.
Madame is white.
Just go away. Go away.
Madame, what is it?
Nothing, do you hear me? Nothing.
Madame, you're leaving?
Yes. Tell Mr. Strafford I have an appointment. I shouldn't have... I couldn't wait. Mr. and Mrs. Strafford Perry announced the engagement of their daughter, Veronica, to Mr. Winwood Strafford, sixth. Veronica Winwood Strafford, sixth. Oh, Win. So that's what you had to tell me. So that's it. Not our marriage. Hers. And all the time I was thinking, Kitty Foyle and Winwood Strafford. Kitty Foyle. Kitty Foyle, the joke's on you.
Hello? Oh, yes. Yes, she is better this morning. She is still with me. I am keeping her in bed. No, I don't think you can see her. She is still upset. I don't know what happened. Oh, yes. Yes, please call again.
Good morning.
Kitty, you're up. Well, you look a little better this morning. That was your friend Mark Eisen inquiring.
He must be getting a laugh.
Why would anybody what you call get a laugh?
Because it's very funny, Delphi. Kitty making up her mind. And it's all been made up for her. Oh, what's the use to talk?
Sometimes talk helps a lot.
When there's something to do about it. How long have I been here?
Don't you know?
I remember vaguely coming home in a taxi.
You collapsed. The driver helped you in last night.
Pretty spectacle. I thought I was the Iron Woman. Well, from here on out, I am.
No, you are not. You're a tired girl. You've worked too hard. This was a shock.
Then you know about Wynne's marriage.
I saw it in last night's paper after you had left.
But I didn't let Dr. Eisen know what was the trouble.
Well, what difference would it make now?
Rest, Kitty. I am going to keep you here with me in my apartment. Then I'm going to send you on a vacation, and then...
And then?
Then you come back to work. And I am hiring your friend, Molly. She is a bright girl.
Gee, Molly, you'll love that. Is she going to be guardian for me?
She is to cover the Philadelphia territory.
Oh, I can see why you did that. But you don't need to protect my pink feelings, Delphine. This may have knocked me out, but not for the count.
Kitty, don't pretend. You can't be hurt.
Can't I? From here on, little Kitty stands on her own feet. Nobody's ever going to catch Kitty Foyle with her defenses down again.
Big tree, but you couldn't get another thing on it.
Well, you sure like sentiment, Molly.
Christmas Eve? Why not?
Well, now what? Shall we both sing carols? Finish the evening off with a glass of vintage milk?
Well, that's better than walking up and down like a caged cat. You're just wearing out the rug.
I suppose I am. Maybe a turn around the park would do me good.
I thought Mark was coming over.
He is.
He's a nice guy, Kitty.
I know.
Certainly been good to you the last 3 months. He's taken you everywhere.
I know that, too. Sometimes I felt like a heel going. Now he wants me to meet his mother.
You might like her.
I'm sure I would. Though I'm a little allergic to mothers.
Kitty, you're a fool. A man's mad about you.
I know. But the darndest things happen to me. I'll look at those awful loud socks he wears and suddenly see Wynn's maroon ones. Molly, how much can you love anybody without really loving him?
I don't know.
Like calling someone darling or dearest. Dearest. That means a lot, doesn't it?
I never use it.
But darling. A lot of people say darling. It doesn't exactly commit you, does it?
I guess not.
He's sentimental, Mark is. He's asked me to call him some term of endearment. I thought I'd figure it out, sort of, for Christmas.
That'd be nice.
Good old Molly. Feet right on the ground. Don't pay any attention to me. I think I'll go for a walk.
You're too late?
I guess I am. I'll answer.
Merry Christmas, Kitty. I know I'm early.
It's all right, Mark.
I couldn't wait.
I'm glad you came, Mark.
Are you really, Kitty?
Sure I am. I'm tickled to death. Merry Christmas, darling.
From Studio One, you have just heard Fletcher Markle's production of Kitty Foyle by Christopher Morley. Another full-hour dramatic entertainment from the pages of the world's great storytellers. Tonight's script was especially prepared for this series by Margaret LaWorth, and the original musical score was composed and conducted by Alexander Semler. Now again, Mr. Markle.
Here's a brief who was who. May a producer present the principals in our cast tonight. In the foreground...
Kitty Foyle.
Was played and very wonderfully played by Mercedes McCambridge.
Pop.
Was played by John McGovern.
Molly.
Was Elspeth Eric.
Delphine.
Was Lynn Sherman.
Mark Eisen.
Was played by Donna Pell. Miriam Wolfe played Mrs. Strafford. Gertrude Warner was Veronica. And Amanda Randolph was Myrtle. Actively assisting were Hedley Rennie, Edwin Bruce, Louis Quinn, Robert Dryden, and Iva Francis. Wynn Strafford was played by your producer. Next week from Studio One, something new. As I mentioned, between the acts tonight, beginning next week, in addition to our radio versions of celebrated novels and plays, we're inviting a number of celebrated performers to join the Studio One cast. Our visiting star next week is Mr. John Garfield. And our story is Richard Meland's new novel, Let Me Do the Talking. As topical as the weather and as swift and bewildering as traffic in Manhattan, Let Me Do the Talking is a bestseller about a bestseller and the whole crazy jigsaw world of the publishing business. We hope you'll be with us. Until then, until next week, and John Garfield, and let me do the talking, this is Fletcher Markle with a good night and thank you from all of us in Studio One.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From 60 years ago tonight, November 4th, 1947, that was Kitty Foyle from Studio One, starring Mercedes McCambridge in a boy gets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl story. And boy, somewhere along the line also, is entangled with girl's mother. And includes, of course, that line, "I'd be happy polishing apples in Kenosha." And it's not exactly the ending you might have thought in Kitty Foyle. Next up, Philip Marlowe with a case from 1948 as old-time radio drama continues here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.